As you're sitting down, let's pray together. Father God, it is a great joy of ours to come into this place and to worship you with the reminders that you are a good, good Father. Throughout Scripture, Lord, we see the goodness that you provide, the ways in which you work, the ways in which you guide, the ways in which you speak and lead us. But we also are able to see and to know that your love for us is beyond measure. One of the greatest pictures of your love is when the prodigal son is on his way back home, and the father in the story picks up and runs, drops everything that he is doing, and takes off running to his son. That's not just a picture of a loving father. That is a picture of even beyond. Words can't describe how loving that is, and the care, the determination, and the love for that son. And Lord, each of us is like that prodigal child, needing the love of a father. You, our heavenly Father. Thank you for those images. Thank you for those pictures and the words of Scripture that show us and remind us that you love us, that you would send your son to the cross to die for us so that we might have eternal life and salvation with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Lord, this week, as we live our lives and we live them diligently according to your ways and to your desires, I pray, Father, that you would give us courage. Courage to step out in our faith and to bring you glory. Strength so that we might withstand the onslaught of the world that just wants to tear us down. Wisdom to choose the right. The ability to care for those that we see and hear that need a helping hand. God, will you give us these gifts, these things so that we might be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus, not just today, but tomorrow and the next and every day, so that the world might know that we are yours because of the way that we love. God, will you impart to us those things? And may we be diligent in our seeking of you this week. God, you are a good, good Father. And we are so very grateful. And we pray, Father, that your hand of mercy will go before us. Lord, we know that there are some folks in our congregation that need, they need some wisdom, they need some insight, they also need a healing touch from you. God, there are folks here that are going to be having major doctor's appointments this week. And we trust that you will work. We trust that you will work in Lad's heart and John's body and others, Lord. We know that you are a faithful God. We know that you are a loving God. And we trust that you are going to lead doctors and nurses to assess what is to be true and what needs to be done. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you and we give you praise and glory, and whatever may come, you are always worthy of our praise. And we pray all these things in your son's glorious name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. Got a couple of things that we want to just share with you, some announcements, but we want to just welcome you and so glad that you have chosen this day to come and to worship and to be a part of Living Hope Wesleyan Church. It's amazing that we woke up this morning and we turned the calendar to June. Is everybody okay with that? Because I heard some groaning earlier about people thinking, oh man, how can it be June already? It is. We don't govern the calendar, do we? They just kind of happens and we turn the calendar from one to the next. We have a thing that's called the QR code. Would you please utilize that at some point in time today? Scan it with your phone and just let us know that you're here and let us know that if there's anything that you need prayer for, you can utilize that QR code to do that. But you can also just helps us to know that you are here and we really do appreciate that. It's not only on the screen behind me, but it was there. It is, but we do have it throughout the church as well. Next Sunday, we are doing something that is called Faith Promise Giving. Faith Promise Giving is how we help support our missionaries. It is above and beyond giving, beyond our normal tithes and offerings, to help support missionaries that are going throughout the world to serve God in other contexts. And we serve about 8 different family groups that are sent throughout the world, and we would love to continue their support. Along with that, we support a few organizations here in our community that we utilize our Faith Promise Giving to support them. And here's our goal, is that we're looking to have commitments of about $16,000 to support these missionaries and our local agencies. But we also know that that was our goal last year, and we surpassed that by a lot. And in the sense that we surpassed that. And anytime you go over, I'm going to say a lot. I don't know why, it just happens. But it helps us to do a number of things. When we have a little bit extra, it helps us to bring missionaries that are on a break for a little while, to bring them here, support them, and interact with them and take care of them. But then it also helps us when we do have other things that come up, like mission scholarships and things like that. Because as we are getting involved with sending our own teams across our community, our state, region, and across the world, we utilize those faith promise commitments to help fund scholarships as well. And so that's a really good opportunity for us. So we'd invite you to begin praying about how you might consider giving for this next fiscal year, from June 1 to June 1 next year, so that we can support our missionaries, keep them in the field, and then also continue to support local agencies as well, such as Bridge Haven, Mission of Hope, and His Hands Medical Facility. And so those are great things that we would love for you to help with, but we want you to pray about it. We really want you to seek the Lord and see what the Lord would put upon your heart to give for this next year. So you got about another week to keep on praying, because we're going to receive these faith promise offerings or commitments next Sunday. The teenagers are doing what is called a summer book club, and so all of our teens are invited, if they would like to be a part of a book club where you read some C.S. Lewis classics and then talk about them in the summer months. And teenagers, if you are interested, you can sign up on the youth room door, or you can contact Andrea Thomas and let her know that you are interested. And so please take care of that. The last thing I want to do is talk about something that is coming up. It actually takes place, begins next Sunday, and that is that we will be sending a couple of teenagers to middle school camp, and then the following Sunday, we're going to be sending teens to our high school camp. Registrations have already gone out. This is not a registration announcement. This is a prayer announcement. When we send kids to camp, We know and we hope that they are going to have not just a fun week, but they are going to be having a spiritually life-changing week. And in order for that to happen, we would appreciate it, and I would appreciate it, and those teenagers would appreciate it if you would be praying for them. Because there's a lot of things that happen when they are there for a whole week without any technology, without any things of distractions, and God will work in great ways, but we need to be lifting them up in prayer. And I want to just put that on your mind right now, from today until June 20th and even beyond. Be praying for our teenagers that are going to camp. And if you want to add on top of that, we have kids that are going to be going on the mission trip that is a local mission trip in the 1st of July. You can go ahead and start praying for that as well. There's a lot of things that you could be praying for, and these are a few of them that we would just really appreciate that. Just a reminder for our families, especially with younger kids, we are on our summer schedule. It started last Sunday, and so for the remainder of the summer, we won't be dismissing kids for Children's Church. They will be spending time with us in the sanctuary because we value a couple of things. Number one, we value that our leaders have an opportunity to have a break for Children's Church, but we also do value that our kids are in worship with us as well. So with that in mind, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. I'm going to be utilizing our Bibles a lot today, and you can just kind of open up to John. That's where we'll camp out for a little bit today, but we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. I'm going to say that one more time because I think it's valuable and I think it's important. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, the church of today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, the early church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Whew. That's tough, isn't it? That is a tough statement. But one that should challenge us, shouldn't it? Nope. I guess we just answered our own question right there, eh? Just kidding. Thomas Oden wrote a really good theology, systematic theology of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in his third volume, he writes this about the Holy Spirit. And the study of the Holy Spirit is a big $5 word that is called pneumatology. It is the systematic analysis and interpretation of the text of scriptures and tradition that deal with the regenerating and consuming work of the Holy Spirit. That's a lot, isn't it? But the idea is that he continues. He says, the Spirit indwells in human history to attest God the Father and God the Son to draw together the called out people for celebration and proclamation to reveal the truth to those yielded to the Spirit's promptings, to equip for service, to seal the promise of things to come, to elicit faith, hope, and love, and to address the history of sin. Those are things that the Spirit of God does to draw together called out people. That is you and me. To reveal the truth that is God's truth to those who are yielding to the Spirit's promptings. To equip for service. The Spirit of God equips for service each of us for the equipping and the work of service for the kingdom, to seal the promise of things to come, to elicit faith, hope, and love. These are the things that the Spirit of God does. And today we're doing kind of a part two in our study of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, as we are approaching next Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday. The day that we kind of remember, and we remember that the Spirit of God was sent to the early church and changed the world. That's what we're kind of approaching over the next couple, next week. So my first thought is this, is that the Holy Spirit is eternal and holy. Eternal and holy. The promise of Jesus about the Spirit was the Spirit will be with them forever. In Hebrews 9:14, it speaks about the eternal Spirit. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? The Spirit is eternal. The Spirit of God is eternal. The other thing is that the Spirit of God is holy as well. In Romans 1:4, it says, "And who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." And so we consider that the Spirit of God is holy because he is a part of the triune God, the Godhead, that he is holy as God is holy. And from God's vantage point, our bodies, which house the Holy Spirit, are precisely, should strive to be holy as well, to be holy as God is holy. The Holy Spirit is also omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Those are fun words and the ones that we should understand and know. So, omnipotent. The Spirit is all-powerful. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by spirit, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, the Lord Almighty. He is powerful, all powerful. And then in Psalm 139, 7 through 8, it talks about the Spirit is present everywhere, and that is omnipresent. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. The Spirit of God is everywhere, is omnipresent. Wherever you go, the psalmist is recognizing that the Spirit of God is everywhere. And then the Spirit of God is all-knowing, that is omniscient. The Spirit searches all things. This is 1 Corinthians 2:10, part B. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. These three items, the omnipresence, the omniscience, and the omnipotence of God, are all characteristics that talk about the infiniteness of our God. You and I are finite. We are limited, but there is no limitation to the Spirit of God, just like there is no limitation to God the Father and God the Son. God is all of these things, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Hopefully, that is something that you already knew. You may not have had those titles or those working handles, but hopefully you are have heard those types of description before. The other thing that the Spirit of God does is the Spirit of God prays for us, prays for you, prays for me, prays for each of us. And in, let's go to the next slide. Romans 8:27 says, "He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." should be comforting, shouldn't it? That the Spirit of God intercedes for us, that the Spirit of God is at the throne room of heaven and interceding for us, praying for us. When we can't get words out, when we're praying to God the Father, it is the Spirit that helps us, that assists us, that gets the words that we're feeling deep inside our soul to our Heavenly Father, and He is praying for us according to the will of God, that we can take confidence that the Holy Spirit knows our hearts, knows us and the will of God, and He is interceding on our behalf. We sometimes forget about the work of the Spirit in the throne room of God. Isaiah 40:13 says, "Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord, or instructed Him as His counselor?" The Spirit of God not just only works in the presence of God, but also serves as counselor for us. The other thing is that the Spirit has emotions, and I know that I am flying through these things because I got a lot to cover today. But the Spirit of God has emotions. Isaiah 63:10 says this, speaks of the grieving of the Holy Spirit. "Yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit." Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption." If anything, something that we should hold on to in our minds and in our hearts is that when there is a separation in relationship between us and God, what happens is a grieving of the Holy Spirit. When we have a separation with God, the Spirit feels that, and the Spirit is grieved by it. And I think that if we understand that the Spirit is grieved by the separation, by the break in relationship, God also feels that. Shouldn't we be aware of that? And shouldn't we want to not grieve the Holy Spirit? It's kind of like you don't want to, I mean, when in our family relationships, we don't want to do things to hurt other people, right? I mean, you don't do it on purpose, do you? To make your spouse angry at you? I don't just purposefully do things to make Andrea mad at me. I do things on purpose to make her laugh. I do things on purpose to make her find me. Like, I'm just a big nerd. I will hide some, because our kids are at college most of the time. So it's like we got this house that is just around. So I go and hide somewhere, and she's like, "Where are you?" And it's so funny because I can just laugh that she has to come and find me because she wants to hang out with me because I'm so exciting. But I don't do things on purpose to make her mad. I do things on purpose to have fun. I do things on purpose to let her know that I love her and that I care for her and that I want to have that relationship with her. But I definitely don't do things on purpose to make her mad. I don't do things on purpose to make you mad. You don't do things on purpose to make anybody mad. But sometimes we're not aware of that relationship, that vertical relationship between us and God, where we do things that do hinder that relationship. And sometimes I think if we had an awareness of what that does to our relationship, maybe we would be a little bit more aware and not do those things, whatever they might be. You know what they are. God feels those things. The Holy Spirit feels those things. What would it look like if we cared more about grieving the Spirit of God than we care for our momentary satisfaction or fleeting desires? What if, and I'm going to say that again, what if we cared more about grieving the Spirit of God than our momentary desires for satisfaction or fleeting desires? What if? What would that do in our relationship with God? John 14, 15 through 17 says this: if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. The first phrase, if you love me, keep my commands. That's not like a suggestion. That's a, if you love me, keep them. Follow through. Take care of them. Do what I have told you to do. And the Spirit of God will be sent to you, and he is the Spirit of truth. Something to catch here is that when Jesus talks about another, he's not referring to something different, but he is talking about one of the same kind. Another one of the same kind, because it sounds confusing, but it does make a difference. The Spirit is another. He is a part of the Godhead. He is a part of the Trinity, and he is another of the same kind, the confirmation of the oneness of the Trinity. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Son is saying, I'm going to send you another, but I'm going to send you one that is of the same kind that will be with you. And there are passages of scripture that we will look at some of them today that talk about the work that the Spirit will do in us through the Spirit of God. And we need to understand that this isn't another of a different kind, but it is another of the same kind, the same God, the oneness of God that works in us. Does that make sense? You with me? Mostly okay? All right, good. John 14, 25 through 27 says this, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the advocate, that is another name of the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So hold on to this small passage because it's pretty important, because the next thing that the Holy Spirit does is it teaches us. The Holy Spirit will teach us everything that God has commanded us through the work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will teach us these things. And in 25 and 26, all this I've spoken to you, but the Counselor who sent in my name will teach you all things and remind you of everything. The Spirit, because he dwells in you, will remind you of the things that you need to know, will remind you of the things that you need to do, will remind you of when we may be walking out of bounds. But the one thing that I want you to catch, though, is that Jesus then talks about peace in verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The thing that I want you to catch is that the Spirit of God will always teach you what is truth according to God's ways, according to God's commands, according to God's laws, according to who God is. The Spirit will never teach anything that is contrary to God's word. Hold on to that, because that is powerful truth for us. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of peace. And the Spirit of God is teaching peace, things that line up with God. When you are in relationship with him, confusion is not of God. Chaos is not of God. That is of the devil. That is of the spirit of the world, not the spirit of God. And along with that is that the spirit counsels, okay? Themes of peace, the advocate, the paraclete, all of these things, all of these phrases, advocate, paraclete, helper, counselor, are all definitions, all terms that speak of the work of God that counsels us. The evil one, Satan, condemns. The Spirit counsels. The world makes us feel abandoned, but the Spirit is with us. The Spirit lives in us. And Psalm 143:10 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good Spirit lead me on level ground." It's not going to lead us across a rocky path that won't that we can't walk upon, but it's level, it is pure, it is good. Acts 9:31 says that we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The church was encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in fear of the Lord. Notice that it was the Spirit of God that was encouraging the early church, guiding them, counseling them. And 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10 says, however it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. He is the Spirit of God, reveals, counsels, shows us, guides us, teaches us. And now we come to a really powerful passage of scripture that I just want to spend a little bit of time on before we wrap up today. John 16:5-15. And we'll be utilizing this passage for the next couple of points. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Okay, a couple of thoughts. First one is that the Holy Spirit convicts. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, the Spirit of God convicts us. From an old unholy mindset, from words, thoughts, and actions that are not of God, the Spirit of God convicts. Helps us to know when we are getting out of bounds. Speaks to us, gently guiding us. And reminding us of what we should and shouldn't be doing. 7 through 11, John 16:7-11 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilty in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." The Spirit of God is that voice that holds us, gently reminding us when we've wandered. Like a good shepherd that gives us an occasional whack to get back in line. Sometimes we need it. I need a 4x4 to gently, lovingly knock me upside the head and say, straighten up. That sounds really bad. But that's part of what the Spirit does. Nudges us, reminds us. Not just in sin, but in judgment and in righteousness, so that we can live according to God's plan. The Spirit guides all truth, right paths, right places, and right relationship. Never guides down a path that is contrary to God's teaching. John 16:12 says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak only his own words. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. There's been a number of times in my personal life where transitions in life are happening, or certain things are going on. Just the busyness and the craziness of life is very evident in life. And it is the Holy Spirit that has always come beside me, that has guided me in decisions, guided me in truth, guided me in wisdom. And the moments that I recognize that is the moments when I'm calm in front of the Lord and in the presence of God. And sometimes we ask the questions, well, how can I hear from the Spirit of God? And my question, it always is, are you calm? Are you trusting? Are you listening? Are you putting yourself in a place where the Spirit can speak without distractions, without a place where you can just rest in the presence of God? The Spirit will speak. Yet, when my heart was feeling overwhelmed and in the chaos completely all around, there was still the assurance that the Spirit was speaking. For instance, it was 2012. I had gone to a major youth conference. I was leading some teenagers there, and there was about 5,000 screaming teenagers plus all these adults, and we were in this big arena worshiping. And it's loud, like obnoxiously loud. If you don't like loud music and things like that, that's not the place for you. Like, if you can imagine our teenagers at camp, you've seen some videos at kids at camp, and it's just like music is bumping and kids are dancing and jumping and hooping and hollering. It's like that on steroids at these conferences. Massive, huge thing. And in the middle of it, in the middle of this going on, the Spirit of God just reminded me, everything's going to be okay. We're in a major life change transformation moment, and the Spirit just said, it's okay. God's got this. And I immediately called Andrea. She couldn't hear a word I said because it was so loud in there. So I texted her. The Holy Spirit just said, it's going to be okay. So what I'm saying is, in all of this, is that when life is crazy, God can speak. When life is calm, God can speak through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we get distracted, the Spirit of God comes alongside us and walks with us, takes care of us. But what I want you to catch in all of this, in all that we've looked at today, is that the Holy Spirit does things that are beyond our understanding. But it always makes sense when he's working on our lives. Maybe not exactly the way that we want, but he does work. But he's also doing it for the glory of his Father and for the glory of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And so, as we take steps to Pentecost Sunday and we look at what God's word is going to be showing us next week, you got to have all of these things for the last couple of weeks to be reminders of God's work through the power of his spirit and trusting that he is going to work. Okay? So, next week, we'll kind of conclude this and we'll dive into another facet of God's work through the Holy Spirit. And I think we'll be encouraged by his power and his authority. And we will recognize that he wants to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your spirit, for the working of your spirit in our lives and according to your ways. Thank you that we get to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes we forget that, Lord. We forget that we have the gift of your spirit dwelling in us. In the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell on your people, we received that same gift. And I pray, Father, that we would truly, truly let that be the reminder for us that you want to do more than we can ask or imagine in our lives. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And that should give us great comfort. That should give us great hope. That should give us great knowledge of your working in our lives. God, fill us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit so that we can not only bring you glory, but we can help the work of your church. And we pray these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. It's a joy to worship with you. Let's close our time together with some singing. Won't you please stand and let's worship together.